Well, as loyal BPP listeners know, January was National Hobby Month, and we took the opportunity to feature gorilla knitters, campaign button collectors, yo-yo fanatics.
Love that.
Well, we like the series so much, we're keeping it around and declaring it National Hobby Year.
Some boys like to hunt and fish, and some like to sail the sea. I'd take up photography to build a dark room for you and me as my hobby. I want you for my
Yes, in our continuing series of extreme hobbies, there's a group of people out there who like to watch. There are people who can spot and monitor satellites, you know, the ones that support GPS and Google Earth, and then the ones we aren't supposed to know about, the secret spy satellites up in the sky. While it's fairly easy these days to feel like you are being watched, these satellite spotters, they're watching back. Joining us now from his home in Toronto is Ted Moultson, energy conservation consultant by day and one of the world's best-known satellite spotters by night. How you doing, Ted?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing just great. So how easy is it for you to identify a satellite in the sky?
Well, a lot easier than people might suspect.
Hmm. Well, what are the telltale signs?
Well, as far as a spy satellite, they generally don't look any different than any of the other satellites. So it takes some detective work to separate them out. You know, there are thousands of things orbiting the Earth, and spy satellites are a fairly small percentage of them.
And so when you say it takes a little bit of detective work, can you describe that for me?
Well, sure. One of the ways it happens is we know in advance that a spy satellite is going to be launched. You know, that aspect of it cannot be kept secret, and the U.S. government does not attempt to make that secret. So we know well in advance that a satellite is going up, and we know from where it is going up. There are only two locations. It could go from Cape Canaveral or Vandenberg Air Force Base. And we also can learn quite easily what direction the rocket is going to go into, partly because it is necessary to inform mariners and aviators where over the ocean they should avoid, because pieces of the rocket, like rocket stages, shroud covers, are going to fall. And that gives us a clue as to the direction of the satellite. So that gives you maybe a bit of a flavor of how we go about this. We use open source information to help narrow down what kind of orbit the satellite would have gone into.
And when you're saying you're talking about these communications, are you listening through on various radio frequencies? Is this all information that you and other satellite spotters trade? How do you find this out?
Well, there is some radio involved, but perhaps not in the way you might think.
Mm-hmm.
We don't listen in on, you know, communications going on within the government controlling the satellites or any of that. But some of my colleagues do monitor radio beacons and other signals on the satellites. So that is one aspect of it. Most of the observing is done visually. We basically see the satellites through binoculars or telescopes.
So you don't really have any super special high-powered equipment, just a good old-fashioned set of binoculars and a telescope?
Well, that would pretty much do it. with binoculars, the bigger the better. But the ones that most people take to a ball game, a 7x50 binoculars, would be a good entry point into the hobby. If you get serious with it and want to see fainter things, then there are bigger binoculars, and they're not very expensive.
Now, is there a certain part of the country or a certain time of year that makes it best for satellite spotting?
Well, not really. They can be seen any place in the world. Now, if you live in the mid-northern latitudes where I do, you know, around 45 degrees north, right around that latitude, we do get a lot of cloud cover in the winter. So in that sense, the winter is not as good for observing the sky as the summer. But that's a local thing that affects, you know, mainly the northern hemisphere.
We're talking to Ted Moultson. He's a conservation consultant by day, and he's one of the world's best-known satellite spotters by night. So, Ted, how did you get into this? Did you just wake up one day and think, I'm going to go outside and look for some satellites?
No, it wasn't quite like that. I grew up in the 60s when space exploration was just getting underway. And like a lot of kids, I was inspired by, you know, seeing rockets being launched on television, seeing astronauts go up. All of this was new then. And at some point, probably when I was around 10 or 11 years of age, I saw my first satellite go over. And that made the whole thing all that more seemingly tangible to me, actually seeing with my own eyes something made by humans that had been, blasted into space. And so I was fascinated by that. And, you know, from there, slowly over the years, as I got older and learned more, I found myself wanting to understand more about orbits and be able to predict when satellites come over and the like. I didn't get into spy satellites until the late 80s.
Now, what was it about the late 80s that made you dive into spy satellites?
Well, after a 10-year hiatus from the hobby while I finished my education and, you know, started my working life, I got a little more settled, had a little more spare time I could spend on hobbies and stuff, and started to find myself wanting to get back into the hobby. Also, at that time, I wanted to get involved in making scientific observations relating to satellites, because there had been a long tradition of use of amateur observations of satellites for scientific research. So I learned how to make those kinds of observations, contacted the people who are involved in that, and through them, I met people who were a sort of a subset of that group who were also interested in spy satellite observing.
But here's the thing I wonder about spy satellites. I have two questions about. One is, if they're spy satellites, I'm assuming no one wants the people who put them up there, they don't want other people to know they're up there. So is it difficult to find them? I mean, are you having a difficult time deciphering where they are?
Well, not really.
Now, doesn't that scare you a little bit, that not really, that you can figure out where spy satellites are that perhaps our own government has put up there?
It doesn't scare me. I suppose it could give someone pause for thought. But to give some perspective to it, most people don't know that up until 1983, the U.S. government did not classify the orbits of any of its spy satellites. They were all made public along with all the thousands of other pieces up there. And so somehow, you know, managed to get through the worst of the Cold War, keeping this stuff quite out in the open. So it's still somewhat mysterious as to why suddenly they were classified when they were.
Have you ever held back information from being published on your website or shared on various community boards because you were afraid that it would fall into the wrong hands? I mean, there could be people who would use this information for doing things that are not so great.
Well, I can imagine that there were people who might try to do that. I question whether, it would get them very far. But to answer your question, no, we've never withheld our information because of concerns that it would fall into the wrong hands.
And is there a holy grail for satellite spotters, one satellite that's been rumored to exist that everybody's out there searching for but hasn't spotted yet?
No, actually, we don't spend a lot of time searching, believe it or not. When something new is launched, then we will devote some time to searching. We will usually develop a plan well in advance, and sometimes we will find those satellites literally in the shortest, within seconds of its reaching orbit. Sometimes it'll take days, weeks, months. But usually we don't have the time. This is a hobby. We all have day jobs. Many of us have, spouses and families and other responsibilities. So the hobby has to fit within, some kind of a reasonable lifestyle.
Now, before I let you go, I'm curious about, we all read the newspapers about this satellite that's going to fall to Earth. That everybody kept talking about this piece of the satellite that was going to hit somewhere. When you heard information like that, someone who spends their life, part of their life anyway, dealing in the world of satellites, what did you think? Did you think, oh, that's a non-story, that happens all the time, or wow, I wonder where that thing's going to hit?
It was more the former.
Yeah.
First of all, I knew exactly what satellite they were talking about.
Of course you did.
When I was out for the day visiting with friends and came home late that evening when that story broke, and was surprised to see, my voicemail messages line flashing and emails from the press. And they didn't say what satellite, but I immediately knew which one. I predicted a year earlier that it was coming back to Earth in March. It's a small research and development satellite, we believe. I doubt that it weighs much more than, 5,000-6,000 pounds. I doubt that there's anything particularly hazardous on it that would survive all the way to the ground. Perhaps some rocket fuel. Most of that should burn up on the way down.
Well, let's hope you're right about that. Ted Mosan, we appreciate you sharing your hobby with us.
I'm glad to do it.